Welcome inside the coach's room. Every week, we talk to elite coaches and backroom staff about their experiences, how they develop, and how they develop their players.
I knew some personally. I knew the Buffon, I knew Gattuso. And I know they smashed by frustration the dressing room. And you know, Koreans are well organized and disciplined and respectful, etc., etc. And they said, "Oh, no, look what's happening." I said, "Come on, guys, and look and enjoy what they are doing." What I consider is not my finest hour. Was the second period in the Dutch Federation with national team. I shouldn't have done that because there was the atmosphere was rather cold and chilly.
In this episode, we talk to Guus Hiddink. I don't think he needs any introduction. So without any further ado, enjoy this episode with the legendary Guus Hiddink. We make this episode together with the PSV Coaching Academy. Okay, Guus.
Ja.
Ready?
Ready to go.
Ready to go. Before we start recording, we were talking maybe about your flow of the day almost. And we'll get back to that later. But you maybe said, okay, maybe I follow my intuition, I follow my body during the day. Yeah. And maybe in coaching as well.
Yeah, we were talking about my private life when you go to sleep during the night, early, late, and then my body tells me, "Hey, now it's 11:30. You're tired. Go and sleep." But sometimes, or most of the time, my body said, "Oh, you're fresh, still fresh." Then I stay awake till I don't know 1:30, 2 o'clock in the night.
Yeah, and now, can I say? Well, I'm not saying you're a jobless coach, but there's not, let's say, in a job on a team. So classic music is one to fill the nightly gaps. But was it used to be tactical thinking about the team?
Yeah, when I was not jobless, as you say, it hurts when you say that. Sorry, jobless. No, but you have to consider your age as well. Sometimes you have to step back what I did. But then I liked the late hours because then or in silence or in soft music, pop music, but also classical music, then it gives you space to think about the job or to do what you are planning next day or next game whatsoever.
And are you?
And there are two situations that you have your plan, you have made your schedule, and you have made your. Let's say your general tactics, the way you play, but you have also your strategics to play the next opponents. Then you have the influence during what I call the silent hours.
Okay. And are you somebody that keeps that in your head, or is it noting and writing down?
I in the early days, I kept it in my head, but I had also the experience that you have thought of some 3, 4, 5 issues. Then I lost maybe one issue. And I said, when you have this thought, you have to write it down.
Okay.
So I had in my early days, as some or many coaches might do, I had also next to my bed, I had a pen and a paper.
So
when something pops up, boom, write it down. Because next morning you don't remember.
Yeah, well, they say the memory is not made to remember, only to process.
Okay, that's new for me. That's nice.
Well, if I'm personal, if I say, I have to remember these 5 things, like you said, normally you come up with 4. Yeah. So the 5th one is gone.
You forget. Yeah. True.
Okay, well, that kind of brings us to, well, the process for you as a coach, and well, welcome inside the coach's room, which brings us to your coach's room. You had several at big clubs, at countries. Maybe your coach's room was not even a regular or a steady office, but it was all around. What was the most important for you there?
Well, I always required an own office in my wherever I worked, in a club or in a federation. But normally in the modern days, they have an office where you can work. What I thought always was of importance for me was yeah, of course you have your computer, etc., etc. Sure. But in the early days when I started, be careful not to play, not to talk too much about the
early what is days. Early days. What?
Well, in the let's say in the early 80s,
sure,
or late 70s, when I was playing football, went to teaching on schools, etc., but also youth teams I practiced with. Then you had your little offices, because I think always important to have two things in my office. That was in that time the flip chart, you know, the flip sure. chart where you sure. make your lineup.
Yeah, yeah.
Several flip charts, and then you have lineup A, B, C, plan A, plan B, plan C, substitutes, etc. Yeah, you make you win always the game before you play the game. So you made your alternatives also on flip charts, and I put it then on the wall.
Really simple, because there were no magnet boards yet.
Not yet.
No, okay. Those days. Computer. We're talking about now those days.
It's now more easy, and which is better, because it's faster to talk with players and your staff. But then I had several flip charts on the wall, and then thinking which player to play against whoever the opponent might be. And second was the bank or couch.
Sure.
A couch where you can sit. And there was also in that time a little bit already the small computers where you got your images of the game.
Okay, so videos and
the video,
footage.
The old-fashioned video system. Because I always like to in the evaluation with teams, of course, to talk about the performance the day before in the dressing room or in the meeting room, but also after that, also individually. And individually, I like to do it in my own office,
yeah,
sitting not opposite a player, but next to a player.
Okay.
That's why I need, because then we are talking and I will show the images about what I think the player has done well or has to correct or sure. has to improve. And then I like to have his vision, whether he sees what has to be done or what did he do in certain
certain areas or certain situations. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Because for me it was also important. I can impose my thoughts, but I have to be sure that he is also aware what to do or what he did wrong.
Yeah, so you let the player explain what he saw, what he sees.
Yeah, and then I can
instead
make
of pushing him towards a solution.
Yeah, I can make my opinion about A, and give my opinion, but I have to know how he thinks about this.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I win time because I can impose. At the end, you do because you have a certain idea how a player in his position has to play. But then I must know how he thinks about his job as well.
Now my assumption again is an assumption that let's say late 80s, coaching was more top down. This doesn't seem top down at all.
No, that's true. At the end, it is top down because when you are in a high level, the standard is asking top down. You have to
the context or the coach?
The context.
Yeah.
Because what is asked in the or required in a game, what you have to do. And there you have to say, hey, this is what we want you to do. And then it's more or less top down, but it's not a top down in the way that I as a coach impose on you. Because if the player cannot cope with that, then it's difficult, you know?
Yeah. My idea is that let's say philosophy about working with players is more, let's say, from the last 25 years, where it's more integrated. Players have to have an opinion. They have to find the solutions. And maybe before that, it was more, let's say, the dictatorship. The coach says what to do. Or am I wrong? Or are we wrong?
No, it's still you make the plan. You make the plan how to play.
Yeah. Yeah?
How you play, whether you play a high block or low block or mid block, whatever the technical terms are. But then they have to know, so you have to impose it. If not, they work for themselves. But they have to be aware. And that's why you need in top, you need intelligent players. And also, there is for me an aspect which is important, that coaches during the game, we think we are powerful during the game, which is normally not true. I see, and I made the mistakes, in my opinion, myself, in the beginning of my career, when I see images back, that I was running into the air, the coach's area, from left to right, and pointing to left to right what to do. And I've been a player as well. I never looked at the bench to see, hey, coach, what do I do now? What do I do now? Oh. So I was more or less, in that time, supporter. Because if you do like that, you run like a tiger in the cage, then you're too late already. And then I learned to say, you have to try to think in an advanced situation. What can happen in the next 3, 4, 5 minutes in the game, and do you have then the power to correct if you see something is going wrong? You don't have the power directly. That's why I like always to have in my vertical axe, from central defense, midfield, attacking midfield, players who are the extension of the coach.
Yeah.
So you work the whole week on your way of playing. Generally, also focused on your next opponent, where is the weakness and strength of yourself and your opponent. But then you have to transfer it in the mind of those, what I call my second
key players,
my key players. Yep. And they have to control what has been practiced and what has to be executed. And then you can every now and then, in a dead situation, you can have a contact with those key players.
So you do involve them in the strategy or in decisions?
Yeah, of course, because we made that plan and then said, this is my plan to play, And if they have just, they can adjust something in that, I have to be open to think about that, what they are contributing.
Yeah. How does it work? So, like I said, okay, football is, well, you made a strategy, or you think you have a good strategy. I think that's the best way to describe it. Then the captain, the key player, okay, guys, come in. This is my idea. Sit down on the bench, for example. And you explain it with 3, 4, 5 players. Is that how I can see it?
Well, you do it already in the training sessions before.
Of course.
And then you have your meeting.
Smart players will know and realize as well during the sessions,
but
of course.
In top, you cannot have stupid players.
Okay.
But then... I didn't like also when you have a game on Saturday or Sunday, I didn't like to have very extended meetings in the meeting room with a team, because I know by experience, as I was a player, then you had also coaches who talked 45 minutes, 1 hour in a meeting room. And as a player, we start joking already after 6, 7 minutes, because one is losing easily the concentration after 5, 6, 7 minutes. And then we start joking, stupid dressing room jokes in the meeting room, So that learns me, hey, don't talk, don't go over the top, because you want to confirm yourself. You want to confirm yourself, hey, did I do well? I have to repeat it 1, 2, 3, 4 times more, which is not true. You can check it you can check whether they have understood your way of playing, of coaching, during the last team sessions on the pitch.
Yeah, I think it's a pitfall for almost every starting coach, that you want to control as much as you think you control.
Yeah.
So long talks, a lot of coaching, because you think...
It's for your self-confirmation.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. It's uncertainty, probably.
Yeah. It's true.
That's interesting.
It's true. And I know as a player... You see it, they start joking, they start losing, or they start even staring. Yeah, when you are in a meeting and players are not following your eyes with their eyes, and they start focusing on one point, they're staring, and then hey.
I think we all had the discussion that at some point the concentration was gone, some player made a joke, and everybody just cracked up, and okay, I should have stopped 5 minutes ago, probably.
Yeah, true. I did myself, I know. I know, I had, you cannot see it, but I had one control over my eyelid, I will show you now, that I used as a player to another player. This one, you see now, I can shut my right eye. I cannot shut my left eye.
Okay.
I have control here with this nerve on my right eye. Sure. And when the coach was, in my opinion, come on, finish your day.
So this was a joke.
I did this and I looked at the other players, and that other player had artificial teeth. He put out. Shortly said, we start joking, and then it's lost. Yeah. It was nice for the team. It's nice for the team.
And it's also, I think, also very good that players feel safe enough to do it. And as long as there's respect, if you don't interfere or whatever, then you're fine, I think.
Yeah, fear is not good.
Okay, interesting. Okay. Well, a little bit maybe connected to this is I hear one point. Sometimes I hear a coach talking really into detail, and I also hear a manager letting things go. And yeah, I already asked you this, but now on the recording, do you feel more like a coach or a manager, or did you change or shift?
You have to shift when you are practicing. What I said in the way of playing generally, but also focused on the next opponent, then you are the coach and you want them to execute. But for me, the manager is more what is around the team. Yeah. How do they cope with each other? How do they cope with whatever supporters or press or whatsoever? You have to deal with that as well. Then you are more the manager. Yeah. But you cannot, in my opinion, not say he's the coach or he's the manager.
Yeah. The way that, let's say, the outside world looks at it is that, okay, typically in England you have managers and they have field coaches. That's what they say. And it's a little bit stereotyped.
But in England, then the manager is also the technical person, the head coach, and then you have the field coaches as well. And I worked in Chelsea twice. There you feel that you have your beautiful staff, and then you're the manager. But the manager is in the technical area on the continent or elsewhere. It's more the manager is more the manager in whatever the commercial side or the technical side, etc. So there's more separated on the continent or elsewhere.
Yeah, but what I also tend to hear is that, yeah, you're either a very good coach or you're either a very good manager. And it hardly comes down that you're both. Yeah, okay, in the elite you have several, but a lot of coaches we put them in that box.
Yeah, but I don't want to put it in two boxes. You have to deal with that. We have to deal with that.
If I hear you correctly, you have to take on both roles anytime. At one point you have to be the manager, one point you have to be the coach. Sure. And you have to have both qualities, otherwise you cannot survive, probably.
That's true, I think.
Coaches, sorry for the interruption. Besides the coaches room, I run another company called Football Tours. This is a full-service touring company, and we organize pre-season and winter training camps for professional football teams. We do this for both senior and youth teams, and we take care of everything. Hotel, training accommodation, friendly matches, whatever you need. We give youth teams the opportunity to train at the best youth academies of the Netherlands. Academies like PSV, Feyenoord, AZ Alkmaar and the KNVB, you can train there with your team. So, if you are a professional coach, you need to organize your training camp, or if you have a youth team and you want to train at the best facilities in the best academies of the Netherlands, go to footballtours.com. And now pay attention, tours is with a Z. So footballtours.com. When I was doing a little bit of research about you, and maybe it's a little bit the management side for you, there was a story about South Korea, and you came across as the bald type of manager or the bald coach. And the way I was thinking about this, because there was a situation after South Korea versus Italy, in, let's say, the tunnel or after the game, People said, okay, it was anxious, it was even fear, because the Italians were tearing everything down. And your response was, I kind of enjoyed this.
I enjoyed it very much. You remind me of this situation. We there was the goal situation by Anjouan. He made the golden goal. Being half Italian, he played in Italy.
He wasn't welcome anymore, right? After they didn't want him back or something.
That's true. He was not welcome in Perugia anymore. Ridiculous. But yeah, that's true. People got panicked when the Italians, emotional. And I knew some personally. I knew the Buffon. I knew Gattuso personally. And I know they smashed afterwards. They smashed by frustration the dressing room. They cheered all this, the chairs and what, etc. And you know, Koreans are well organized and disciplined and respectful, etc., etc. And they said, look what's happening. I said, come on, guys, fold your arms on your belly and look and enjoy what they are doing. I enjoyed very much, yeah. But it had nothing to do with bold, no? Bold means that because I was asked to go to the last 16 before the World Cup when I started almost 2 years before. Then I was asked, hey, bring us to the 16. Korea never won on 5 World Cups where they were, never won one game. So, hey, guys, what's going on? So I made some conditions for them to fulfill. If not, I wouldn't accept the job. One was that we needed all the players in a longer period together, like a club team. And we have to travel around the world to get experience because they were a very closed football society. And they were anxious to go abroad, to strong opponents. And I said, no, we go the strong way, the difficult way in a preparation time. And there I was, in my opinion, not bold, but I had to break down some rules which were in football society or in
the Korean society.
Which was, and sometimes, or most of the time, you must respect that there is a very strong tendency towards hierarchy or ancienity. When I'm older than you, even 1 year, I can decide what you have to do to serve me. You understand? And that was also into the team, those conditions.
Those patterns almost.
So, but it's contraproductive.
Yeah.
So in this way, I was bold to say, hey, come on, we stop this. If you want me to bring you to the 16 was a huge target. Then we go this way I wanted to do. And so I chose also strong opponents in the year before on Confederation Cup. And in friendly games, we lost many games 1 year before. But I made also appointments, for instance, with France to meet them just 10 days before the World Cup in a friendly game.
Yep.
That's what the coach of France like to do, because in the Confederation Cup, they won 5-0 to us. Yeah, 1 year before. Oh, the whole country panicking. So we have 1 year to work as a club team with the national team. And then Le Maire, the coach, said, I like to have a friendly game 10 days before.
An easy one.
Easy game. I said, okay. So we made this game 10 days before the start, and we were leading 2-1. It was 2-2, and extra time they made 3-2. Sure. But it was competitive. So then everyone was, oh, my God. So that was a process. And there I have been, not in my own opinion, not bold, but they asked me to do so. So then we do it the way I did.
Yeah. Okay, maybe bold is not the right word, but
they were because everyone is focused on the last 2 or 3 months, that everyone had the feeling, oh, this team has grown a lot.
Yeah. But what I had
to fight against
exactly, and that's
many
exactly
people.
When let's
technical
say the pressure
committee
on.
Was there, and there was a technical committee who decided who were going into the 23 squad. So I said, no, that's not the way it worked. But then you get a lot of resistance. But I was, that's what I like. From the federation at that time, there were two men. They were covering my back, because if not, I would have been killed already before. And they covered my back. And every month I went to the boss of the federation.
Sure.
Said, I'd like to explain what we are doing. I said, you don't have to explain. We cover you back because we haven't achieved anything in the last 5 World Cups. So go ahead. And it was a tremendous support for me.
They gave you complete freedom.
Yeah.
But what I hear, let's say, between the lines, is that once the pressure's on or when the heat is on, you tend to get a little bit bigger.
I like it.
So when they're tearing down the dressing room, you're okay. I'll deal with it. When the commissioners come, you'll deal with it.
Yeah.
When Uruguay trashes the dressing room again.
Yeah. But the technical committee is also because it was a political choice. Because the technical committee was organized that they were representing all areas of the country. And they brought from their area the player.
Yeah.
So they have 23 players. Yeah, but it was a political choice. And we went with my team doing a lot of scouting. It's not scouting in the K-League, in the first league, but also in the other league, also in the military, because, you know, they have to go to military two or three years there. And on universities. And we brought some players in who were playing on university teams. The goalie, the number one goalie, no one knew him. He came from Army. So we brought those players based on quality and not on political choices.
So the choices you make are not, let's say, the logical, safe ones. I can say the bold choices. But in the end, it's the process that you have because you want to win, that you believe in, that makes those choices very logical again. Mm-hmm. I would say it's bold.
Okay.
Because, I think it also separates... Let's say it separates maybe coaches from being safe and being on a certain level because it can also horribly go wrong.
Yeah.
But then you chose your own way.
Then I have peace in my own mind.
Sure.
I have worked in the biggest, in my opinion, biggest club in the world, Real Madrid, and there. As a coach, I enjoyed it very much. Enjoyed very much there. If you have the white shirt, it's very heavy, yeah? Very heavy over there. But also, we won the World Cup in Tokyo when it was still a prestigious one. And then I had every week with the president, I had a glass of wine at the end of the week and talk about whatever football. And then once in January, February, he came and said, Mister... Maybe his son was also part of the squad, of the 26 squad.
Sure.
I said, my son is doing well. I said, yeah, he's doing well. Yeah, he's doing well. And very nice guy.
His son or the president?
The president was also a nice guy. Well, no, he was a nice guy. And his son also, very contributed, had not the big quality to be competitive to what I had, Sanchez and Hierro. These were international best players at that time. And he was central defender. He said, maybe you think about my son one day. I said, yeah, president, to be honest, I have the two and I don't change them. Okay. No, you make the lineup. You make the lineup. No. Okay. And the next week again or 2 weeks later. And then he said, oh, and by the way, when I walked out, by the way, we have to think about extend your contract for next year as well.
Okay,
in the same company, yeah. Then I could have said easily, that's why your question was, okay, I this is the biggest club. Let's talk about extension of my contract. But I said, no, I didn't do it. Because if I would have agreed and bring his son, you lose first your own, because you have your reflection in your mind as well. How do you cope with the situation based on fairness, treating fairness, although you have to bring a bad message to players, but be fair. Or I go in surviving and sure. talking about extension of my contract, and I lose the total authority in the dressing room. That's what I don't want. So then you have to lose in those big clubs 2 games. And then they say, we don't talk about extension of the contract.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But at the end, I can have my feeling, my peace in myself that if I would have done it the other way, I wouldn't have liked what I have done.
Yeah, agree. Clear, very clear. Okay, you had a lot of success, but you probably had some dark moments as well. What was your darkest moment? What did you, but more important for the listeners, I think, is what did you learn from those moments?
Well, one of you learn also from that, but one of the, also during your period, you have your wins, you have your loss, but that's rather normal in football. But what I consider is my finest hour was the second period. I had one period with the Dutch Federation in 96-98, which was a wonderful time.
Yeah, great success.
But I don't want to avoid that subject. Also, I thought it was 2013-14, around that time, that I had the second spell in the Dutch Federation, the national team. And there I, afterwards thinking I shouldn't have done that, because that was the atmosphere was rather cold and chilly. As you know, in football, there's a wave. There's the top of the wave, and there's a downside of the wave, and depending on the generation you got. And when we compare to Holland, we have the Cruyff generation in the 70s.
Yep.
Yeah. Then you go down a bit, and you have the Gullit van Basten generation in the 80s. Yeah, later on you have the Robin Schneider van Persie generation. And in 14, although they were very successful in the World Cup in Brazil, but they were a bit, in my opinion, not they were lucky, because they escaped from Australia, Costa Rica, and Mexico. Yeah. Perfect. But you have to, as management, me, but also in the directory board, they have to acknowledge, hey, this is now the end of the generation of Van Persie, Robin, Schneider, more or less. Yeah. So we go a little bit down. We went a bit down, and then we started to create a very competitive change of the team with Wijnaldum, etc. And then we were losing one or two games, and then we climbed up a bit. We were still in chance to qualify, but the directory board said it's not going well. It's not going well. They were also not having, in my opinion, the vision to go along, that we go a little bit down in the wave and try to climb up. And that was one of my...
They didn't acknowledge it was a transition phase.
Yeah, and then it was a cold atmosphere. Sure. I didn't like that.
Okay, and what was the biggest lesson there?
Well, that on forehand, you must convince them in what situation I think we are or top of the wave, or a little bit down, and we have to find our ways to climb out of this.
Yeah. So if I put it in my own words, before you take the job, or before you choose to take the job, manage, let's say, the situation around the team more, so they know what to expect.
I cannot control the outside world. Sure. If they have party, it's perfect.
Sure.
Perfect. But the inside world, you have to be a team. And in the team, you can be critical to each other. And then you go out and we defend what we are doing.
Yeah.
And that was not done. That's why you have to cover each other, and you can be inside the room. You can say, hey, I don't like that. We have to go that. Or what do you think about that? And then you agree, you go outside, and you go for that.
Yeah. And if I interpret something for myself, it also, it's ownership of the team, but it's also ownership of managing the people around the team.
Yeah.
They are the ones that are influencing your job.
Yeah.
And of course, you can say, well, I cannot control them, but you can manage them.
Yeah.
Even before you start.
Then you are managing what you said before. Then you are strongly managing.
Yeah.
Have nothing to do with coaching directly. Then it's managing the environment you must have your influence.
Yeah. And you were talking about the situation, let's say, on elite European/world level. But this also accounts for any coach in any environment.
I think so. Yeah.
If you're a local amateur club, you also have a president or whatever that you need to manage.
Yeah.
You cannot control him,
yeah.
but manage expectations.
And then you are also, when the attitude is good, you're also, as a coach or manager, you're open to advices or criticism.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Very clear. Okay. Guus, I promised you that you would be on the pitch with Theo.
Yeah.
At 2.
Yeah.
You have 5 minutes left. So we're going to end this.
Okay.
But I have one question left. And that's always, okay, who should we talk to next?
Well, nowadays there are influences of a lot of service stations, which I called in the data, you know, in teams, around teams. And nowadays I have sometimes, but maybe I'm getting old.
I don't know. I'm not judging.
But now time the data people, they can have a big, 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 with capitals, influence on managers and coaches as well. You cannot play that one because he's coming into the red zone.
Sure.
Physically. Yeah, but for me it's a little bit sometimes too much of influence.
Okay.
I had once also the two, I was watching in some team, the two, how you call it, psychological people.
Sure.
Were testing some players during a lunch of the team. So there were two chairs vacant. I said, how's possible? Yeah, they are doing some exercise with a stupid exercise because I was looking at them. Okay, and they were making notes about what players are doing. I said, come on, now you're going over the top. They have to be with a team and having lunch together.
Sure.
That's what I mean. And then we go to one. I have two suggestions for you. Maybe another podcast you should take Theo Lysius from PSV, which was my player. And I like him very much because he was my player and also has a little scars of life. And now he made the transition. He was a good player, but not top player.
One or two caps, very decent player.
But he made the transition now to be a coach. And that's also interesting how they do this. And I enjoy watching him because he is, of course, learning. He needs the basics of coaching. But also his intuition is very strong.
Yeah.
So that combination is very...
There's a connection with you as a person?
Yeah, I like that. Those guys I like very much. I like very much. That's one. Or the other one, which I suggest when we talk about data, who can be very wise, I had a very good contribution from him, help from him, is Luc van Agt.
Okay.
And he also has a very clear mind that although being a man of data, physical, he understands perfectly what coaches think or feel.
Yeah. Okay. So he, if I hear...
It's up to you.
Ah, well, let's see. They're both... We're here at PSV, so we probably can get both of them. Guus, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Inside the Coach's Room. Make sure to subscribe or rate us in your favorite podcast player or share this episode on your social media and we will make sure that you will get access to the best webinar that's available on our website. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn. I would be happy to connect.